So Todd, I have talked to the booth, and we're going to give you 7 seconds back because you were searching for the door hanger. Yeah, so your 5-minute diva was 24 minutes. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, I have to pick on Todd. Todd is the brother that God gave me that if I could have, I would have picked him. I didn't have a brother. But I was telling Ryan earlier that if I'd been able to pick out a brother, it would have been somebody lovable and gregarious like Todd is. Somebody who always helps. Somebody who makes the room better just by walking into it. And that's who you are, my friend. I'm here to introduce a new friend tonight. Marcus L. Elliott is with us and his wife, Bethany. And I think Bethany might have stepped out with Marcus Jr. and Mia disappeared too, so they all went with the little ones. Good. So Marcus Elliott's married to formerly known as Bethany Shields of Charlotte, North Carolina, and they have 2 children, Mia and Marcus Jr. Marcus has been preaching since he was 12 years old. He was raised in the Northside Church and of the Church of Christ and in the Lake City Church of Christ, both in Lake City, Florida. Marcus is currently the preaching minister at Crosstown Church here in Tulsa. Marcus has served in the capacity of youth minister, assistant minister, and minister. He's preached in 7 states in gospel meetings, seminars, and filling in. I think he just got in from Ada, where he preached, and so he's got a lot of miles on him right now. Marcus is a graduate from Ambridge University. His hobbies include singing, fishing, and spending time with his wife and children. His greatest love and joy is serving our glorious Lord and leading souls out of darkness into the marvelous light. So, please welcome this evening, Marcus Elliott.
Let's see how we get this up here. All right, giving honor to God who is able to save our very souls. God is good not just some of the time, but all the time. God is certainly good. And it's so good to be with you tonight here in Glenpool and just to be able to share what I have learned. I'm so thankful for the invitation to be with you guys here tonight. And it's just a joy to just be here and make new friends and meet our brothers and sisters in Christ in this area. And I hope I don't hold you in too long. I was expecting the Devo to be a little longer. I was thinking he's going to get some of my time. And I was like, good, no. But it'll all work out. I'm just glad to be here tonight. Let's see. There we go. All right. I want to begin by telling you a story about a woman. Kind of interesting the way I'm going to start this out. And so I hope you bear with me tonight. I want to begin by telling you a story about a woman. She was a young woman who grew up in a low-income family with people who never graduated high school and had very little money. She was consistently surrounded by people who sold drugs and did drugs. And you probably guess what happened to this woman. She, if you're around something like that, she had fell into the traps of her environment. She became drug addicted. She was a prostitute, and she was a felon. And around December of 1993, she became pregnant. She was terrified because of her drug use and her malnourishment. And she knew that doing drugs could cause serious damage to the child that she was carrying. She tried her hardest to do right by her baby and not to do drugs, but failed many times. On top of the drugs, she could not keep a healthy diet. Most of the time, she'd eat anything but a cup of ice. And it was a big struggle for her. But about 9 months later, obviously, that's about the time that a baby's born. August 20th, 1994, she gave birth to a baby boy. Her baby was born drug addicted, crying out because of his cravings for drugs. And about 3 days after his birth, the Department of Children and Families took this child from her. And for 3 long years, the child was left in foster care while they tried to figure out which family member would be the best fit to take custody of this baby. His foster mother even would take him to visit his mother in prison, his biological mother in prison because it was required by law for her to have visitation rights. And each time the bars would close, the baby was traumatized. His foster mother soon told them that visitation was scaring that child, and they needed to do something about that, and so they stopped those visits. So after 3 long years, the foster mother had the opportunity to adopt this boy, and she hesitated at first because of dealing with a drug-addicted baby is very hard. But with much prayer and guidance from her mother, she decided to adopt this child. His name was originally Lamar Christian Jr., but she changed his name to Marcus Lamar Elliott. The little boy was me. I could have been on the road to drugs. I could have been on the road to prison. I could have been on the road to death. But I was blessed to be able to grow up in a Christian household in the Lord's church. And just because of that doesn't mean that it was easy. I have experienced sexual abuse, feeling unwanted, abandonment, depression, being bullied, breakups, beat up, adoption. It can be very traumatic, has been traumatic for me. Betrayal, church hurt, disappointment. But God has carried me through. I was the first to ever graduate high school, college from my biological family. The first to have a marriage and to have children within marriage. And I'm just grateful to be a Christian, a child of God. Now, I didn't come to tell you this story just to tell you my story, okay? There is a point to this, and the reason why I told you this story is because we cannot do this walk as Christians alone. And so when we talk about what I have learned the ideal of when we are living this life, living this race as a Christian, this race is not easy. Many times people make it look easy as being Christians that we don't have any problems, any storms. And I'm going to tell you tonight, that's just not true. And for you that's sitting in these pew tonight, you're the very people who know very much that this race as Christians is very rough. And in the midst of a battle that we experience, that it's very hard to see past the clouds in our storms, isn't it? It is very hard to see on the other side of whatever your story may be. And I've learned through life experience to trust God. And I want us tonight to leave here with the idea that I want to trust God more. I want to have faith in God more. In the Bible, there are so many people who have faith and trust in God. But even though they had saw God working in their life, even though they saw God doing miracles, even though they saw these things with their very own eyes, what did they do? They still struggled to trust and have faith in God. And I want to share with you tonight, Glenpool, that I struggle sometimes with trusting God. When times get rough, you start having trust problems. But I've come to realize and learn that God always has our backs and has our best interest at heart. Many of us, and me, I've experienced loss. You've experienced loss. People thought that I could trust disappointed me. Have you experienced that? Where people you put your trust in have disappointed you? And I'm one of those people who really am, I put my trust to be real easy. I trust people real easy. I'm your friend. I'm your buddy. And sometimes that can be a downfall, that you can be easily trusting of people. Over and over again, being disappointed. And so this ideal of trust, you become very skeptical about the word. So what does true trust mean? You know, I asked my wife this question, and she had different things to say, and one of them was maybe loyalty or someone that stands by you, someone that's dependable. Those are great things. But the kind of trust I'm talking about tonight that I've learned is the idea that that you can be put in a place that is very difficult to see God working in this place. And it is this ideal of being put into a position that it seems like there is nothing on the other side, but yet you trust it anyway. Let me give you a good example. I'm going to get into the word in a minute, but y'all be patient. We drive our cars, right? Do we know the people in the other cars? No, more than likely no. But we trust the person that we cannot see over there, they stay in their lane, that they don't hit you. Let me give you another one. We go to restaurants. We put our trust that they handle the food correctly so you don't get food poisoning, don't we? But yet, when we talk about trusting in God, we don't have the same approach. So what is true faith? What is true trust? Trust is when God tells you to do something and it goes against every instinct in your being, but yet you trust him anyway at his word. Amen, Walls. It's all right to say amen. Yeah, at Crosstown, we say amen when it's true. Yeah. Yeah. So when we trust God, it is when everything that goes against everything, you know, everything is great when it's in our comfort zone, isn't it? I heard someone say getting out and going door knocking and putting pamphlets on the door. Oh, no, I'm getting out the four corners of the walls. That's not what I came to preach tonight. I'll keep going. Another time. It's easy to trust God when we're in our normal routine and the things are going great in our comfort zones. But as soon as our normal routine goes up in flames, soon as things start going wrong, everything that could go wrong is going wrong. Now we're questioning God. Then we have these thoughts coming through our minds. God, you want me to take you at your word. You said you'll never leave me, nor forsake me. You said you'll never abandon me. God, you said you'll provide all my needs, but all my bills are past due and I'm losing everything. God, you said you'll be near the brokenhearted, but yet I'm in grief. God, you said I'll never be alone, but yet I feel so alone. I have no relationships. I just feel all by myself. God, my life is a mess. But yet you tell me just to be still. How can I put my trust and faith in you? And I don't know who's here tonight. I don't know if these are thoughts that are running through your mind right now. And maybe you can relate. Maybe these thoughts have ran through your mind before. We look through the Word of God and we see people enduring hardship. We wonder, why did they stay so faithful? Why did they trust God so much? Even in the most impossible situations, we must understand that God knows best for us. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I want you to pay attention to this. This is the confidence. Why did they trust God so much? Why should we trust God so much and have faith in God so much? It's because we have confidence in God. A little bit of my lesson, I get a little bit deeper into about our faith and our trust, but we have confidence in him when we approach him. And I think a lot of times we say, well, I'm going to pray to God and ask him to intervene. And then we expect him to intervene right then, don't we? I want it right now. God don't work on our time. But faith and trust and confidence in God is that God will work when he's ready to intervene on his time. But we have confidence in our faith that when we approach God, and if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He's hearing you. He hears what we says, what we asking him. Now, whether his response is no, whether his response is yes, you got to trust him. And be confident when you approach him that he knows what's best. So what is faith? It comes from a Greek word. Faith comes from the Greek word pistis, which means putting your trust in God and having confidence that he will fulfill his promises. It also means belief and trust in and loyalty to God. Firm belief, even in the absence of proof. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. We have to have faith. Now, a lot of times we'll say, well, I have faith. Do you have complete confidence in God? And what I mean by that is that we depend on him for, and we put our trust in him for everything. And a lot of times we say we have true faith, but yet we're holding on to a little piece of it, a little control for ourselves, don't we? We like it to be in control, don't we? We like to hold on to a little piece of it. Just be honest. God, I know you want, nah, I'm going to do this. God, I want this car, and I know you blessed me. I know I don't need it, but, and you didn't wait, and now you messed up. You still got that little control. And the thing about it is when we have true faith and true trust in God, we let go of all the control and you let God control things. I've learned when I put myself, trust in myself, faith in myself, things don't go quite like it should. But when I put my faith and trust in God, it goes just right. In Hebrews chapter 11, we all know this, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants us to have true faith. Not mediocre faith, not lukewarm faith, but true faith that we depend on him with everything. Now, many of you may ask the question, I don't know if you have, but I'm just going to put that out there. Well, what's the difference between faith and trust? I'm talking about the two, okay? Faith, we know, Romans 10:17, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith is our belief system. It is something that is implanted in us that is permanent. But trust is something that is built over time. There's a difference. We have faith because of our belief in God, but then we must have trust that is built. How do we build trust in God? We build trust in God through our relationship with him. And so when we have to separate the two, because yeah, just because you have faith or belief in something doesn't mean you trust it. You know, I could have a 1950s car and and it's been acting up. I may like it. I may believe in the value and the ideal of the car, but it doesn't mean that I trust the car to get me from here to Texas. There's a difference. And so I've learned not only to have belief and faith in God, but I learned to trust him through a relationship with him. Through our relationship with God, we learn lots of things. God requires us to have faith and trust in him. In Job chapter 1, there is a man who has some great faith. And I can't ever imagine myself in this man's situation. Now, you know my story, and so now we're friends now, okay? Because I don't tell that to everybody. And so in Job chapter 1, starting at verse number 6, the Bible says, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth, going back and forth on it. And when the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless. He is upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. We see this story as it starts out. The angels are coming before God. And then Satan shows up. Don't Satan show up at the most inconvenient time? He shows up. And of course, there's humor in the Bible because it says here, God asks, where have you come from? obviously God knows where he come from, but he wanted to ask, where'd you come from? I've been searching all over this earth. He said, well, did you see my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth. He is upright. He is blameless. He is a man who fears God and shuns evil. And see, a person of faith, we should be described like this, right? A righteous person. A person that is blameless, guiltless. A person who fears God and respects God and doesn't love evil. That's a description I like in my job description. I'm going to put that on there. Because that's all what we're striving to be like. This man Job here, being described that way as Christians. And then in verse 9, he said, well, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And so Satan says here, now God, you know, this man, he sounds like a good guy. He's righteous. He's blameless. He shuns evil. But is it all for nothing? Is he fearing you, respecting you for nothing? This man has everything. You've protected him. You've given him everything that he wants. You have blessed him. You bless the work of his hands, the flocks and his herds and the land. But listen, if you just took away everything that he had, everything that he had, I bet you he'll leave you. How many of us have gotten tested like this? I don't know if we've really got tested like this, that we lost everything, but we've gotten tested before. And the devil is saying to us, I bet you I can get that person away from you. I bet you if you take something or this, that, or the other thing, they will leave you and turn away from you. I bet you if you take everything from him, he curse you to your face. And of course, in verse 12, I love God. God's something else. He said, okay. Well, then. Everything he has is in your power. But on him, you don't touch him. Don't lay a finger on him. You think that he'll leave me because if he loses everything, take it from him. Challenge accepted. And then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Verse 13, one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby. And the Sabaeans had attacked and made off with them, and they put the servants to the sword. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. All of those oxen and donkeys and the servants were messed with. But there was only one to come back and tell Job what had happened. And then verse 16, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants. I'm the only one who came to escape to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger came, and the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword. I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, another person. Now, this is a bad day. I'm just telling you. This is happening back to back. All these people come to tell this man, they stole your oxen and sheep. They killed your servant. Now, all your sheep are dead. Now, but there's one that's left. The servant is left to come tell you about it. And now they've taken off with your camels. They're gone too. All that hard work you put in, they're gone too. And still, this man speaking, someone else come up and says, here, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the walls, and it collapsed on them. They are dead. And I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. Now for me, that's like the last straw right there. I lost everything. Okay, the animals, they're gone. That's okay. But your children? This is gonna be very hard. I can't imagine what he was going through. But this is a test of faith, right? This is a test of how much trust we, or he in this case, really had in God. So what did he do? Well, of course, he cursed God and turned away from him, right? No. I'm glad y'all know the story. Verse number 20, it says, at this time, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, and then he fell in worship. So Marcus, you mean to tell me someone who has true faith and true trust in God, no matter what it is, even if it's everything taken away from them, that they would trust God anyway? Yes. Because it's not about, as Job says here, it's not about the things that's on this earth. Church, if you're here for those things and depend on these things on this earth, I got news for you. None of this stuff that is here you can take with you. Now, I did see someone with a hearse with a U-Haul trailer going to the cemetery, and I'm like, where are they taking this stuff? We really can't take it with us. We can't put our trust and faith in the things in this earth. This stuff is temporary. Look what Job said in verse 21. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. That confidence that I was talking about earlier. We praise the Lord in the good. We praise the Lord in the bad. We praise the Lord in the ugly. And we have trust and faith and confidence in him no matter what. Because he knows what's best for us. Going back to the story about my childhood story and where I came from. There had to be God that was in the mix. Nobody but God, and the way things happen. Yes, things still happen along the way, but God was always there helping and guiding and leading. And I'm so just thankful that I'm able to talk to people today about the message of Jesus. And to be, 3 days ago, I was able to baptize a young couple into Christ. They wanted to leave their sinful lifestyle. It is because they want to put their faith and trust in something that is dependable. And I think a lot of times we have been Christians so long, we forget how free we became when we were baptized. And why we put our faith and trust in him is because there is no other answer but God. Amen, Walls. I know I'm right about it. There is no other answer for God. You know, a little kid had on a math test, they didn't know the answer, and they put Jesus. And the teacher said, why would you put that? That's not the correct answer. Well, Jesus is always the answer, right? Not in that case, but anyway. We must praise God and put our trust in him no matter what. Verse 22, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. He didn't sin. His response was, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. He blessed me with it. He took it away. I'll praise him anyway because I know he has something better for me. We sing the songs like, this world is not our home. We know this world is temporary. The things on this earth is temporary. But God is eternal. And we have an eternal home after this life. And we must trust God with everything, even when everything is taken away from us, even when we have everything. Because that's the other beautiful side of Job. He had everything. He didn't say, well, I got everything. I don't need God anymore. No. God blessed him with it. God is to be praised in the good and the bad and the ugly, to be trusted. I want to leave you with some thoughts tonight. that I want you to take home with you. I want you to take my story home with you. Okay? And I want you to take home these thoughts. And if you got a pen, I want you to write them down. Okay? The first thing I want you to remember when we're talking about trusting and having faith in God is that our God is able. When we possess true faith and trust in God, we understand that the power of God and He is able to do anything. Real Christians who have true faith knows the power and the potential of God, and we believe that He could do anything. That the truth of the matter is that we understand that He raised Jesus from the dead. He can do anything in our life. We must understand that He is able. You know, for me, you ever play Uno and you have that one card and it's that draw four card? That's that trump card. But God is our trump card, okay? We got something good. Because He's able to do anything. And I don't want us to forget that. I want us to be reminded of that, that He is able to come through for us. So talking about the confidence in prayer in 1 John, when we approach Him, we have confidence when we approach Him because we know that He is able. We already have that up here. That when I'm approaching God, He is able to do anything. Okay, that's number one thought. Number two thought is this. Our God will. Okay, now we understand that He is able, but He also can do it. We know that He has the potential of doing it, but He can do it. We as people who have true trust and faith expect when we go to God that He will act. What do you mean? Well, He's going to act in some form. It may not be the way you want Him to act, but He's going to do something for you. We understand that He will act. We expect Him to act. We are optimistic people when we approach God. God, I went to the doctor today and he gave me a diagnosis that I didn't really like. But God, I know that you can. I know that you will. And there are many times where people have had situations where the doctor said one thing, but God says something different. We have to have the mindset when we approach God that I trust in you. I have faith in you, belief in you enough that no matter what, you will take care of the situation the way it needs to be taken care of. I have it in my mind that God will help us. And He has our best interest in mind. Now, those two sound good, don't they? Y'all know I had something else up my sleeve, right? He can. He will do. But what if He don't? There's many times where people say, well, they'll say this phrase, well, why did God let this happen? Well, first of all, why would you blame God? Why is it God's fault? What if He doesn't do nothing? That's why I read Job, because even when nothing happens, God can still be trusted. Even if He doesn't come to our rescue or back with the response that we want, we must believe in Him anyway and trust Him anyway. And I've seen many people bargain with God. Well, God, if you do this, well, I will never miss a worship service and a Bible class in my life. We can't bargain with God. You know, we just like playing, let's make a deal. God is going to do what He's going to do. And if it's no, then it's no. And the thing about it is, our faith can't be like wishy-washy. What I mean by that is, I will only have faith and trust in you if you do this. I will only have faith and trust in you if you do this. That's not true faith. Faith is, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, what the Bible tells me how to live righteously and live for Him and do the things that He said, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what you want, regardless. We must still obey God and live for Him anyway. There are many times where we don't understand why God says no. But then you see people being able to see your story and glorify God in your story. And what I mean by that is I went through some stuff. But then I share it with people. They say, wow, look what God can do in that situation. Do you remember Paul, who was Saul, and all the terrible things he did to the church? And you know, us church folks, you know, we say, oh no, he ain't coming in here. But God used the worst of the worst for his glory. And I just love that we can trust in God to transform. We can trust in God to do what he's going to do. Things turn out really good when God's in the midst of it. God is glorified in when the answer is no. Even when the healing isn't on this side of heaven. Oh, my time is almost up. And I still got 5 points left. I have a mentor, and he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and there was no hope for him from the doctors. And of course, he passed away maybe about 2 or 3 years ago. But you know what? He was still teaching people about Jesus. He didn't let that stop him, because he used his story, his circumstances, to bring glory to God. And so even when the answer is no, our stories can still be used, and our trust in God can still be used to lead others to him. And then the next one I want you to take home is God knows better than we do. We always, for me, you know, I think I know everything sometimes. You don't ask my wife that. But we don't know better than God, okay? God knows better than we do. So when we're talking about faith and trust, we must understand God is able, God will. What if he doesn't? Still trust him anyway. He knows better than we do. He knows the future. He knows what's going to the outcome of certain things. God is God. We cannot be God. And we must trust him that if we just follow the path that he wants us to follow, everything else will be taken care of. In James chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the sea, by the wind. And so when we ask God, like I was saying, he knows better than we do, so we must trust in him and not have doubt in him and his ability at all. Because if we do, we're all over the place. We are being tossed. And when I think about being tossed, that tossing is not towards God, it's away from God. Because we're doubting him. And then we know that all things are possible with God. Philippians 4:13 tells us that. God knows everything. He knows the desires of our hearts. He knows what we want most. But that's the key word. I always tell my wife, well, she says, I want this, but there's a difference. Do you need it? God knows what we want, but he's going to give us what we need. So when we trust in God, we understand that all things are possible, but we have to trust him trust his answer. And then the last one you've been waiting on, he is worthy of our trust. Having faith is having trust. When we put our trust in him, it takes a lot to do that for some people. When you're used to doing something for so long, and then it's like, all right, God is asking me to completely change my life. That takes a lot. But the whole thing about it is, yeah, it takes a lot, but he is worthy of our trust. Why is he worthy of our trust? Well, he gave us his son, right? He gave us the best. As a matter of fact, he gave us everything, because Jesus is everything, right? And so when we talk about having trust and faith in God, you must understand what he's did for us and his son going through the suffering and pain and agony that he went through for us to even be worthy to say that I have faith in him, to have trust in him. And if you didn't get anything else out of what I said tonight, is I want you to have joy in your Christian walk. You be happy to trust in God. Like I talk about, I have the best father in the whole world, and that's God. And he can do anything. That's something to be confident about. That is something to praise God about. That is something to make sure that we always have it at the forefront of our minds. And so I believe that's why Proverbs says this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. No, it doesn't say that, right? I'm glad you caught that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's true trust. Everything. But here's the kicker. All right, I'm going to trust you all my heart. But then it doesn't stop there. And lean not unto your own understanding. It's not about what you understand. It's not about your knowledge. It's about what he wants, his will for our life. In all your ways, submit yourself to him. He will make your path straight. I'm out of time. Real quick. If we put true trust in God and let him lead you, your paths will be just right. Be straight. And so I'm going to leave you with this. Are you putting your trust in God? Or has it wavered? I want you to consider, truly consider that question. Because it's a serious question. And it's something that if the answer is I have wavered, you need to make sure that you wave yourself back in the fold of God. Because there's no better place to be than in God. Because at the end of the day, nothing, no man on this earth can give you what God can give you. And that's a first-class ticket to heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful for tonight. We're thankful for all that are here tonight. We're so thankful for just having the fellowship with one another as fellow Christians, followers of you, God. And we pray, Father, help us, strengthen us in our faith. Help us to learn to trust you with everything. God, help us to all the things, because we've been disappointed, the skepticism, that we don't be skeptical of you, but we put everything in your hands, because we know that in your hands, everything turns out just the way it needs to be. God, if there's someone here that is wavering, Father, I ask that you just help them to have the courage to say, I need help. I need prayers. Or maybe there's someone here tonight that has not put their trust in you, God. I ask that you help them to have the attitude that I want to say yes to you and become a child of God. God, we love you. We thank you for everything you do for us. Keep us safe as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.